So, the book of Acts. All right, so lesson one, the who, right? We're just going to, very basic. Sorry if it's too basic for you, but again, I always enjoy how R.C. Sproul does it, right? Bringing that cookie jar down to the level where we can all feast on, right, and enjoy what God has for us. So, the who, the when, the why, the what, okay? I know there's aware, and the reason I didn't put it on there because you'll see why here in a second. Who? So what we know right now is that Luke has written this. How do we know that? Well, it says it right. It says it in scripture, right? Well, if we go back. Hopefully, all of you have your Bibles open. Let's get there to Luke 1. Luke 1. Sorry, not Luke 1. Acts 1. Excuse me. Acts 1. If you notice in the very first verse, it doesn't say that Luke wrote this. However, what we know, at least through studies and people that have done their, we know that this is an extension, and we're going to get to that here in a second. We know it was Luke, okay, that's written this this book. Now, what we know from Luke is that he was a physician. He was a doctor. Now, many of you have heard that before, but perhaps you don't know who got that. It's just something that it's been passed on over years, and we just kind of assumed that it to be true. Well, no, it says it in Colossians 4:14. Okay, if you go to Colossians 4, Paul writing to the church in Colossae says in verse 13, "For I bear him witness that he has worked hard for you and for those in Laodicea and Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved physician, greets you, as does Demas." Okay, so we know that, daily, just FYI, I don't think there's anybody in the Brandon, and then just FYI. physician, so Colossians 4:14, okay. What else do we know about Luke? Before I start going through, pardon me? He was Paul's companion. Okay, so he was Paul's companion. Do we agree with that? Okay, he was Paul's companion. What else? Huh? Greek. So what does that mean if he's Greek? You mean telling me, huh? He's a Gentile, so you're telling me he's not a Jew? Scripture confirm this? It does. So we're going to get there. So, did you get my notes? Huh? Yeah, he had to learn Christ present through the accounts of others, right? Through the gospel presentation from someone else, right? He wasn't a direct witness to what Christ had done or to Christ's account. So we know he was a physician. We know he was a Gentile, right? So he wasn't a Jew. How do we know that? Well, Colossians 4:11, Paul writing in verse 10. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you, and Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, concerning whom you have received instructions. If he comes to you, welcome him. And Jesus, who is called Justice. These are the only men of the circumcision. Which means what? They were Jews. So he's saying, these are the only men. Luke wasn't mentioned in there. So these are the only men of circumcision among my fellow workers for the kingdom of God who have, and they have been a comfort to me. So we can understand that he was a Gentile. So he had to then have heard the gospel, right? And come to faith through the gospel. We know he was Paul's friend. Again, what we just read in Colossians 4:14. Okay? We know he was a fellow worker of Paul's. If you go to Philemon, okay, if you click over there, Philemon 1:24. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends greetings to you, and so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. Okay, so this is where we start seeing this is who Luke at least is in light of what's going on with the gospel here in the first century. We know he wrote the gospel of Luke. Okay, so we know he wrote the gospel of Luke. Now, when does he write this? About 60 to 62 AD is what we have, at least what I've read. In terms of, again, they give it more or less around this. He also wrote Luke just before this, the gospel according to Luke. Okay? Why? So why do you think Luke wrote this? There's an answer, by the way. It's in scripture, but it's not just me asking. Like, so the why? Lewis? Okay. But didn't he already kind of do that in Luke?
Not necessarily.
Okay. Okay. Good. Did you catch that? So the why is very important here. Okay, so we know that he's writing this to Theophilus. What do we know about Theophilus? Not much. Now, we can perhaps, we see it in Acts 1:1 and in Luke 1:3, Gospel according to Luke. Okay. What can we say about Theophilus? Well, we can see that Theophilus, perhaps, was what? Huh? A believer? Could have been a believer. Money? Okay. What else? Why would you say rich? Okay. Anything else? Yeah. So perhaps, someone with status, right? And if they had status in this time, perhaps we can presume. Again, there is no certainty, so I'm not saying this dogmatically that this is what we know. I suspect that, again, we don't know much from him. Perhaps he was awakened soul to the gospel. I mean, if you consider what our brother Lewis was talking about here and saying, why would Paul write this? It almost seems like if you take a second, again, from what we know, at least what you've gathered, I don't know if you've read through the scripture of, at least through the book of Acts, but it's a big account, right? So if the gospel according to Luke, right, and this is what I'm saying is continuation of Luke's gospel, okay, which by the way, many times you'll see it in, at least in commentaries, volume 1, right? And then you have a second volume, which is volume 2, being Acts. So then the question is, what was the first book about? What was volume 1 about? Our brother Lewis alluded to this just moments ago. What was volume 1, the Gospel according to Luke, about? Lynn? Okay. It's a historical lesson, but about what? About Jesus. And he said it's about Jesus. The Gospel of Luke focuses on the life of Christ. Right? It focuses on the life of Christ. It's not just Luke's thoughts, random thoughts, and just musings on what he understands or what he thinks. It's, hey, this is what I've seen. And we know that Luke can be very detailed. Right? As a physician, we understand physicians are into, we have a couple of nurses here who are in the medical profession. Anne-Marie, you understand this? Your husband is being a surgeon. We used to have one here. They're very detailed. They're into investigating, right? Let's kind of get behind just what we see at the surface level. What's behind there? Can we dig further? At least that's what I understand. And so the first book was really about that. And he writes it here. In the very first, it should not Luke 1:1, but it should be Acts 1:1, I apologize. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he, Jesus, was taken up. After he, Jesus, had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. So he's giving you the premise. This is what I did in the first book. Okay? Now that we've covered that in the first book, let's continue. Okay? Let's continue. Let's see what happens as this book, again, I apologize, it's driving me crazy. Luke 1:1, it should be Acts 1:1. Okay. Any questions so far? Is there anything that I may have said that is a little bit unclear or, again, pertaining to this? Yeah. It doesn't seem to me, I mean, he definitely perhaps a position of status, but yeah, that he was a high priest doesn't seem very probable at all in that sense. Again, we don't know much about Theophilus, other than that, again, what Luke just decides to disclose, and just by the way he references him or addresses him, for that matter. Were you able to hear that, Carl? That very unlikely to be from a Greek, a high priest as a Greek. Anything else? Any other questions? Okay. So the what? What are some of the themes that we encounter here in Acts? And there's a lot going on in Acts. So what are some of the things? I want to hear from you. I have things written down. It's not like I'm asking, so I can put them on there. Perhaps we'll coincide on a lot of them. Lewis? Yeah. So, and again, keeping in mind, he's writing to a person in mind, Theophilus, right? It's not like Paul when he writes to the church at Colossae or the church at Philippi. There's a specific person in mind that he has in mind that he's writing to. And that's very important. So to this person, again, we don't know, going back, and I apologize, I'm repeating myself, but we don't know about Theophilus. So we don't know. Maybe he was an awakened soul, but it seems to me the way Luke writes, and almost it almost gives almost like an apologetic, right? It's a defense, not necessarily like this is what I believe, but this is what's happened. You read what happened in the first book. Let me tell you how it unfolds. In other words, it didn't stop with Jesus' resurrection. Jesus promised his Holy Spirit was going to come, and he was going to work in his people. And almost right at the beginning, we see Pentecost. As a matter of fact, chapter 1 picks up right at the ascension, right? And now we start seeing the perspective, that interaction that starts happening moving forward. Some have even speculated that this could also perhaps be a bridge. Not speculated, but have suggested that this could be a bridge almost from what you see in the Gospels, the life and ministry of Jesus, to what you see happening with the other letters, Paul, in the New Testament. This is because you're seeing a lot of themes, and we're going to cover some of that. Okay? Birth of the church. Right? You see, are seeing the birth of the church. But wasn't the church already existing before that? And so what do we mean by the birth of the church? So what is that? You were preaching Christ. We were hearing Christ being preached. I mean, this is not like now all of a sudden in the New Testament, Christ is being preached. Christ was being preached in the Old Testament, right? But now we start seeing the church actually take form, okay? Paul's going to start communicating his heart. We start seeing how, what does the gospel mean and how do we live out this gospel as a church, as a community, as God's people? And we're going to start seeing this. I mean, why else would he go on missionary trips? Right? Guys, you know what to do. Just do it. No, he doesn't do that. He gives instructions. He guides. He leads in when he writes his letters. So in that, don't understand like, oh, this is the first time we see the church. No, we see the New Testament church taking form. Yes? Exactly. And that's the point. So we don't see. So don't, again, I don't want to confuse anybody, but understand that. Okay? What else? What else do we see here? What else do we see in Acts? What are the themes come to mind as you? I guess this is a W. What do you know? Lewis, man, my pupil. Yep. So we see the we see the Holy Spirit start working. Something's going to start working. He, the Holy Spirit, the person of the Trinity, is working. What else? Okay, that's fine. And that's why. And that's okay. Because when we, in Sunday school, what happens? I mean, if I go to a classroom and I expect all the students to know, then why are we teaching? But we know that some may know, some may not. And that's why when we interact with each other, right, we get to interact, we exchange, we communicate ideas. Some may be right, some may be incorrect, and we address them and we keep learning. Okay, so don't just be like, well, I really don't know. It's okay if you don't know. Okay, we're learning together. We're learning together. So don't at least, and I apologize ahead of time if I do that. So birth of the church, it's happening through the gospel. All right, we see the partnership in the gospel. Okay, we addressed that last Sunday, but we see how God's people start partnering together, okay, for the sake of the gospel, to proclaim that gospel, all right? Do we see persecution? Yeah, where do we see persecution? In every chapter? valid point. Where do we see persecution? Can someone think of a moment in the book of Acts that comes to mind? Stephen, Acts 6. beautiful, you want to call it apologetic, call it whatever, but it was a presentation of the gospel. It was a presentation of the gospel. Now, of course, the scriptures just will jump right straight into Stephen. There's a development, how it unfolds. How do we even get to, how does Stephen even get to the point where he's about to get stoned? And we see that develop, unfold. What else do we see? The conversion of Paul. Paul writing 2/3 of the New Testament. Where does he come from? Doesn't come out of nowhere. You want to know who Paul was before? Now, Paul also describes himself who he was. Okay. He does it in Philippians. And you see that. Where does he come from? Well, he had a background. We like to remember that Paul says, I'm the chief of sinners. But Paul had a context to that statement. I've always wondered, Paul, how did you deal with everything you did? I don't know if you've ever stopped to ponder upon that. Because I have a hard time dealing with what I've done. And yes, I've committed murder in my heart. You know, we've done these things. And we to see Paul and just to think that these are the very ones that have persecuted. The ones that he actually went out purposely to go out after. I am handcuffed. I am bringing you down. You will not speak. He was a zealot. He was a zealot, a Pharisee, and not for the gospel. Later on, this is Saul of Tarsus. Later on, yes, he had that zeal for the gospel, but it didn't start out that way. Okay? I'm sorry, you were to say something, Osmo? I'm just curious. I'm sorry, repeat the question again. To my understanding, they were not. Because these were sects. This is what we understand. These were sects of that Jesus addresses in, you know, as not being part of, you know, they consider themselves as being part of the law of Moses. But they missed what Moses was preaching. They missed what Moses was talking about, which was him, the scriptures. You know, Jesus saying, I am he whom Moses spoke about. So, correct.
Then it got political.
Yeah. Yeah, and those are the ones that I understood the question again, referring to the ones that Paul. But yes, correct. Yeah. Any other question? Yes. Did you hear that? So our sister Deborah is saying that the gospel is not just for Jews but for Gentiles, right? So can you elaborate on that? Oh, that you're saying it as a theme. Okay, I understand. Yeah. Okay, yeah, so the gospel is not just for Jews, right? Because, okay, very good, understood. Sorry, I misunderstood that. We see the expansion of God's, I'm sorry. And you see a little bit of everything. Yes. Yeah. The gospel is not discriminatory. The gospel is for everyone. First to the Jew, then to the Greek, right? To the Gentile. And that's us. We're heirs and we're beneficiaries of that gospel. So, you see the expansion of God's kingdom, okay? Some other ones that I've come to think of, again, is missions. We see missions here, do we not? Pardon me?
Paul's journeys,
we're going to go. So, when you see some of the letters that are written, you get the context, you kind of get the background. It's good to read, and you read some of those letters, you go back to say, okay, well, where did this happen in light of the New Testament, you know, in Acts? And you can kind of go back and see, okay, this happened, this is what was going on during this time. Paul had just done this, Paul had just done that, he had just left here, now he's going over there. And in that, you get to kind of see the puzzle pieces come together a little bit, okay? We see the gifts, the Holy Spirit, okay? Unfortunately, many people have made the book of Acts to be just a book about and it is about Christ. It's about how the Holy Spirit comes and empowers God's people. The promise of the Holy Spirit. Jesus promised the Holy Spirit to those that come and believe in Him, in His name. The seal of the promise. So, but sometimes people have taken and ran with that to things that, again, I don't necessarily see in Scripture. And some of it has been abused. Okay? Any other questions that you may have at this point? Again, going through the book of Acts, the objective is not just to get details and information for the sake of getting more knowledge. Yes, that's important. But ultimately, if you go back, what was the heart of Paul? Why would he go on those missionary journeys? Spread the gospel. The gospel of who? Of Jesus. That was his heart. His heart wasn't just simply to establish a church. Guys, let's get this ball rolling. This is the way we need to do things. Let us just get the church and the establishment going. And he wasn't there to promote an establishment. Paul's heart was to promote a person. And that person is Jesus. Peter, same thing. Peter's heart, Paul's heart, the disciples, the apostles' heart was to proclaim Jesus. This is why when you see Paul, right, he went to Rome. Even though they told him, we just read it a couple of weeks ago through our consecutive readings, right? Woman taking off her belt, he says, this is how they're going to take you. It doesn't matter. It's Jesus. It's about him. And so as we go through this, I trust that, yeah, we're going to see the Holy Spirit working, but remember, it's always about Christ. It's always about Christ. And when Christ comes into our heart, and there's that interaction, that eye-opening for the first time, think back for a second. It was, again, Jesus alludes to this again in Revelation. The first love. You left your first love. Return to that first love. It's great to see missions. It's great to see the kingdom growing, the kingdom expanding. But if we miss Jesus in this, then we missed it. We missed it altogether. Even though you get everything else. So if there's anything if I encourage you as we study this together, is look for Jesus. Look for Christ. Especially, it's going to be a little bit easier when you see the persecution. The response. What are the response of the saints when they're getting persecuted, when they're getting dispersed? Some of them are frustrated. Some grow frustrated. Some grow grateful. Paul in prison. I mean, we see these things. But again, their anchor is in Christ. Their anchor is Christ. So again, my encouragement is as we go through this, that would be the heart with which you read it, the lens with which you read it, Jesus, my Savior. All right. Does anybody have any questions? Again, pretty short class. Again, trying to be as brief and concise. None? Okay. We'll pick this up next time we gather again. Father, again, just thank you for the opportunity of gathering together with the saints to learn not just information, but to learn of Jesus. Help us to see him for who he is, to not just come across with the heart of, yeah, I've heard this before, but Lord, what are you teaching me? What are you wanting to show me through your word? Because your word is alive and active. Your word is working. It's what the Holy Spirit uses in our hearts, in our lives. And so, Lord Jesus, we ask, guide us. Help us to see you. Help us to see you. And again, even as we continue encouraging each other in our conversations to come, and as we sing together, as we listen to your word together, may you be glorified, may you be honored, and may you be exalted. And that everything we hear today and what we do together as a church as the body of Christ would be manifested and fleshed out through our lives throughout the week. Strengthen us, strengthen your people, Lord God. And we pray in Christ's name. Amen.